I'll ask you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross. That's what you've been listening to. About a Savior that was lifted up. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Drop your eye down to chapter 2 and verse number 2. Paul writes, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And our last reading will be back in chapter 1 if you will just lift your eyes to verse number 23. But we preach Christ crucified. You know, when you're driving down the road, there's some things that you can see at a great distance that even before you really can tell what it is, you know what's coming. So for the kids who are here, if you're sitting in the back seat when Dad's driving and you look out the windshield, and way up ahead, you see a sign. You can't read the words on it, but this is what you can see. You can see it's got eight sides, and it's red. And you know before you ever get there, and I see a girl right over here who told her mom already what it was, right? Yeah, it's a stop sign. Everybody knows when they see the outline of that sign. What is it? It's a stop sign. Maybe if you see your friends sitting at home on the couch or in the library and they've got something on their lap and you see a symbol on it, it's usually in white. It's an apple with a bite taken out of it. Well, I already just gave it away. But you know what it is. It's probably a computer or an iPad. And you don't need to know much about how it works or what it is, but you see that symbol and you recognize exactly what's going on. If you're misbehaving in meeting, nobody would do that, would you? And you look down the row and your mother goes, see? You know what it means, right? Just a quick symbol, but you recognize exact. Nobody's seen that in these meetings, have they? No. But you know exactly what's going on. You know, I want to tell you about the most famous symbol in all the world. And it is the symbol of the cross. Now, maybe I'm just speaking about the Western world, but wherever you go, on a church, what do you often see? Just a sign of a cross. Maybe it's a mile down the road, but you know what that is. That's the cross. It's a familiar symbol. I see it in jewelry. I see it on people's Bible covers. I had a man come into a meeting, had a great big one tattooed right down his forearm. What is it? It's the symbol of the cross. You know, sadly, the cross throughout a great deal of history was something that was highly respected. There were people who understood what the cross was about, even if they didn't believe in it personally. They recognized that this lay at the heart of the Christian message, that this was at the center of the Christian religion, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, sadly today, the cross is often merely looked at as something that is just foolishness. We read about that, didn't we? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You know, I am really stirred at what I see in our world tonight. I see people who are so willing to dismiss the cross as simply some vestige of a superstitious past. Or others who are more militant who tell us that the cross is barbaric, the idea that God would require a son, that God would require blood, is somehow beneath a modern civilized society. To that I answer, in the words of John chapter 3 that you've already been listening, if men and women are going to be in heaven, no. That's way too vague. If you're going to be in heaven tonight, listen to what the Lord Jesus said again to Nicodemus. I'm not going to preach Brother Hunt's message over again, but I'm going to refer to it. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Listen, friend, the cross isn't optional tonight. God is not looking for you to just somehow add the cross to your portfolio of your life. Let me tell you, the cross is the center of the gospel that we preach. It is the center of Christianity. It is the only hope of perishing sinners. Friend, you need the cross tonight. And if the whole world considers it to be foolishness, may God help you tonight to lay hold of that old rugged cross. Because salvation is found no place else. That is why tonight, unapologetically, we preach Christ crucified. I want to tell you some things about the cross tonight. And I would tell you this, that if there's something that I would like as a gospel preacher, and every gospel preacher feels this way, I know this for a fact, we'd love to be able to speak more faithfully about the cross. I want to tell you first of all about the fierceness of that terrible place. When I was a boy growing up, my grandmother, who was not a believer, had a picture in her home. I can see it with great clarity in my mind's eye. There was a little hallway between the kitchen and where we ate. And the living room, and when you sat in the living room and you looked back toward the kitchen, this little picture hung up over that little aisleway that led to the rest of the house. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you that I don't like pictures of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you why. Because no human conception of him will ever match the reality of the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't really care much, and if I offend you with this, I will apologize slightly, but I don't care if it's in Bible storybooks or whether it's in movies or in videos. I personally have a hard time with pictures of Christ or depictions of him or actors who play him. I struggle with that. Because I want to tell you something. No one can begin to approach this glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you about this picture just for a second. It was a picture that was supposed to be of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, do you remember that? He took some disciples out into this garden, into the dark. And thinking about the cross, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground and prostrate there before his God. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. A scene of anguish. A scene of terrible anticipation as this Holy One looked forward to that moment when he would bear our sin in his own body on the tree. But that's not what my grandmother's picture was. It was a picture of a handsome, white, European-looking man kneeling next to a beautiful Hollywood stone in a perfectly pressed robe with a, I don't know what it was, a flying saucer or a halo maybe over his head. It was so peaceful. It was so beautiful. It was so wrong. So I want to tell you something. The cross was the place where the fierce anger of an offended God was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I quote for you the words of Isaiah 53? It was God's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer when he made his soul an offering for sin. Dear friend, tonight, I don't know what you think about the cross, but let me tell you tonight about the fierce anger of a holy God. Anger that should have been poured out against me and against my soul for the awful rebellion and sin of my heart that I had exercised against the God of heaven. And at the cross, God in all his fierceness, God in all his fury, smote his own beloved son. I want to tell you, I'm a happy Christian tonight. I hope that exudes from the preaching. We're glad to be saved. And I'll tell you something. I'm glad there was a Savior who stood in my place at Calvary. What would it have been? Listen, what will it be for sinners who hear the gospel? Sinners who are made aware of the awful guilt of their sin to someday stand before that God and feel the fierceness of His wrath poured out upon them. I'm so thankful to God I'm never going to be in that place. But what about you, friend? If you're not saved, you're going to find out what the fierceness of God really entails. I want to tell you about a cross, a place of great and fierce judgment. I want to tell you something else about the cross tonight. I want to tell you that the cross was not only a place of fierce anger, but it was a place of total forsakenness. You know, I got to tell you that I know there are people growing up in our society that, I think they do feel very abandoned and alone. I've actually had children tell me I don't know what you're like, but I'm a big softy. And when children look at me and say, nobody cares about me, I'm going to tell you something, that unless you've got the hardest heart in Sarnia, that ought to break our hearts, that there are people that feel that way. But you know, for most of us, we've been surrounded by our family and our friends. Many of you know that just earlier this week, my brother had a little grandson that passed away just 7 weeks old. And it's a big tragedy. And in times like that, it's nice to know the Savior. Nice to have the hope that the child is in heaven. But just at a very low level, it's just nice to be surrounded by family. To support each other. To weep together. To embrace and to hold people. To have togetherness. I don't want to be melodramatic about it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you this. People who awake in hell find themselves absolutely alone. I don't think that it's the job of the gospel preacher to terrorize people. I grew up preaching with a man who said you cannot scare people into heaven, and I personally believe that with all my heart. But I'm not here to scare you tonight. But I am here to faithfully tell you what eternal judgment is like. And you know, it's not simply that in hell we're away from our friends and we are away from our families. But in hell, people are away from the very presence of God. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Please don't think I'm being too bold, but there's nobody in this room, including me, that can imagine what it's like to be abandoned by God. You know, maybe I said this an earlier night. I'll just repeat myself because it's worth saying, I think. You know, there are people and they go on a bad vacation or they go to some place and they say, oh, they say, it was just a God-forsaken place. You know, I shudder when I hear people talk like that. I want to tell you something. Nobody in this world knows what God forsakenness is. You've been surrounded all day with His goodness. You've been lavished all your life with His blessing. It rains on the just and on the unjust. What a good God we have. I want to tell you this. To perish in your sins is to be in a place of total abandonment. To use the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, isolated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. You say, what's that got to do with the cross? I'm glad you asked, even if you didn't. Because I want to tell you about a man at Calvary that was abandoned by God. I want you to listen to those cries that come out of the darkness at Calvary. You listening? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? I tell you of all the things I know about Calvary. What must it have been for the Lord Jesus to be God forsaken in that terrible place? Do you know why? I'm going to tell you why. The Lord Jesus experienced what I deserved so that it would never happen to me. What I deserved, He experienced. And in the fierce darkness, in the awful forsakenness of that place, the Son of God who loved me gave Himself to that kind of a death for me. I'm going to ask you tonight. You know, the other night we were talking, what do you think about Christ? Remember that? Here's another question. What do you think about the cross? I tell you, everything hangs not on some complex theology or some complex preaching. This gospel message we're preaching comes down to really simple stuff. What do you think about Christ? What do you think about the cross? The fierceness and the forsakenness of the cross. I'm going to tell you another thing about the cross. I'm going to tell you about the finality of the cross. I tell you, this is, you know, preaching the gospel, there's some serious things we got to talk about. But there's some tremendous things that we get to tell people every night. This is one I love. I want to tell you about the finality of the cross. You see, the Lord Jesus said, it is finished. Do you know, I have hundreds of friends that were saved through that simple statement. Oh, I think tonight, you tell me at the door, I can almost guarantee there's two or three people right here in this room tonight. And that was the text. That was the truth that seized their souls. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. I'm glad to tell you tonight that the work of the cross is a finished work. You know, in this world, there are some things that are never finished. You know that, right? Probably somebody's got an uncle here that's a procrastinator, and you go to his house and the baseboard's never done and the sink in the bathroom is still dripping 20 years later. You know, there's some things in life that just never get finished. Oh, well. You know, there's some other things that get finished poorly. And, somebody just slaps it together and pretty soon the whole thing falls apart again. Here's the one I want you to think about. Do you know there's some things that are finished real well? There's things that are done with quality and excellence. They are, you know, it's outstanding craftsmanship. But, you know, this is a world that's messed up by sin. And the finest things ultimately rust and corrode. The most beautiful things finally turn back into dust. That's just what a fallen, sinful world is like. But I want to tell you about the cross tonight. Because there is a work at Calvary that stands finished eternally. Oh, dear friend, if you could just latch the little anchor of your heart to this truth, I tell you, I was going to say it will do you a world of good. It would do you an eternity of good. Because tonight, God has seen the work of Christ. He's heard that word. It's finished. This is what the Bible says. He's seen the anguish of His soul. And God is satisfied. Why? Because it's finished forever. Can I just ask a simple question? If God is satisfied with the cross, is there anything else that sinners need, really? I ask a lot of people that question. I've actually seen some people saved just running that over in their mind. It's a wonderful question, and I hope you find the answer. If God is satisfied with a work that is finished, then man, what are you looking for tonight? It's finished, and you can rest in it. Let me tell you very quickly, not only about the fierceness and the forsakenness and the finality of the cross, but let me tell you that through the cross, forgiveness is preached tonight. Isn't that wonderful? See, the cross isn't just a symbol that we look at and admire. The cross is not just a point in history that we understand. But the cross is personal for a lot of folks in this meeting. Because it is at the cross that their eyes were opened to this wonderful Savior. You know, I love the verse in Acts chapter 13. Maybe I read it earlier in these meetings. That through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What man? It is the man of the cross. It is through his suffering. It is through his blood. It is through his finished work that people are forgiven and saved and granted peace. Why? Because would you like to be forgiven tonight? Wonderful thing to have a right relationship with God. You know, I was saved just as a young boy. And I have to admit that I did not go far into the world of sin. God in his amazing grace preserved me from a lot of things. But I'm just going to tell you this. I'm so glad that I'm saved. So glad that I have peace with God. And all of the unrest of a world that has forgotten God and has trampled the cross under their feet. My, it's just a wonderful thing to be saved. You know, I'm just going to say one little thing here. You know, I hope you'll understand this. I can't tell people how to be saved. You say, well, what on earth are you doing trying to be a gospel preacher? Well, the fact of the matter is, God saves people. I don't save them. And so I can't tell people how to be saved, and I really can't tell God how he has to save them. But just listen to this. It's not that I can tell you how to be saved, but what Mr. Hunt and I have come to do is tell you about the person that can save you. You see, that's the thing. We're here to tell you about the Lord Jesus, God's lovely eternal Son, the one who came so wonderfully into our world. And at the end of his journey through life, he makes his way up that hill to that old rugged cross. And there in infinite suffering, there in the deepest darkness, there through blood and there through death, he secured eternal salvation for a world of guilty sinners. I don't know how to be saved. I just know who can save you. It's the man of the cross. And he's the one that we present to you tonight, the Lord Jesus. What will you do with him? What will you do with this tremendous work, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? One last thing I want to tell you before I sit down. I have a title for this. I've talked about the fame of the cross and the foolishness of the cross and all of these other things that start with F. I want to tell you my last point. It's called Farewell to the Cross. I want you all to listen for one more minute. Farewell to the cross. What's that mean? It means two things. The Lord Jesus Christ is never going back to the cross. The work that saves is done. Done. Done, done. He's never going back to the cross. I want to tell you something else. People who reject the cross and awake in a lost sinner's hell, the cross is forever going to be in the rearview mirror of their existence. But to die without Christ is to say farewell to the cross. Never to fall under its shadow again. Never again to have the opportunity to be cleansed by that precious blood. Never again to have the opportunity to be received by the Savior who gave himself on the cross. Don't say farewell to the cross tonight. Listen, you get to the cross and you get to that Savior and you receive him tonight. That's why we preach Christ crucified. Let's pray. Our Father,